Hello and welcome to the new and improved Resolve podcast, the only podcast that tells you what it takes to get what you want. Now, if you've been a familiar listener of the podcast, you see that myself, Cassius Chiani, and my co-host, Mr. Matt Sandrini, have upgraded our setup a little bit. We originally started hacking around with mobile phones and some shoddy cameras, and now here we are in a studio by chance, thanks to and courtesy of Mr. Cameron Cairnduff.
So shout out, Cam.
Shout out to Cam. We'll drop a link into Cam Vlogs, you know, so the listeners can check out his podcast as well, which will look eerily familiar to this one. But so today, one of the interesting things that we're going to start talking about, we're going to attempt to do this for a few episodes to see how you guys feel about it, is we're going to start talking about what it takes to, and that's the idea behind this. The Resolve motto is what it takes to get what you want. Now, in this case, we're going to talk about marathons because, Mr. Sandrini, you ran a marathon in Norway at the weekend, didn't you?
That's right. Yeah, it was 3 days ago on Saturday.
Absolutely. So while that's fresh in your head, we're going to tease on the and pull on the thread of what it takes to run a marathon. So why don't you start by letting the audience and the listeners know a little bit about what running a marathon is, more than anything, just for clarity, and then a little bit about the process that you went through to get there.
Okay. So a marathon is 42.2 kilometers, 26.2 miles. So it's a long run, essentially. It actually comes from ancient Greece, where the soldiers from Athens and a few other cities, they congregated to fight the invading Persian army at Marathon.
Shout out to my boys.
Yeah.
There you go.
And they managed to, saying that they won is a bit of a stretch, but they managed to send the Persian army back and then they had to send a guy back to Athens to let everyone know that the Persian Navy was actually about to go to Athens. And so this guy ran back and, well, according to the urban legend, he died the moment he arrived to Athens. He was so exhausted that he said, like, oh, we won, and died. So since then, it's been, a competition, a race or a run, I don't know. But there are a few every year internationally. And it's very different to run a long distance run. And so I remember this conversation with a friend of mine a few months ago, right? And we were saying, I would never run a marathon because it takes, you know, you have to train for so long, you have to lose weight, because, you know, a lot of people that run long distance are very skinny. Because, I mean, it makes sense. That's all that you do. Like, your body is going to adapt for you to be light. Yep. And, you know, not have to carry a lot of stuff around. But you don't actually have to do any of that, you know, if you want to run a marathon.
So what does it take?
Yeah. So for me, I'm not really a runner, which is one of the reasons why I decided to run a marathon. I just thought, it's one of my weaknesses. Let's see it. Let's charge forward. And so I think, it's now, was it 27th?
23rd? Give or take, whatever. 3 days later.
3 days later, so 24th of September. So I booked the actual marathon less than a month ago. So a month ago, I didn't know I was going to run one. And this year, I didn't run for most of the year. And then I started doing like very short runs, about a mile and a half for a month. And then one day, about a month ago, I was like, look, I'm going to challenge myself and see whether I can do a 3 mile run every 3 hours for 24 hours. And I did. I just run through the day and through the night every 3 hours, 3 miles. And at the end of that, it was 9 a.m. the second day, the next day. And I thought, oh, I just run 24 miles in a day. Let's look if there's a marathon over the next few weeks and book it. And the closest one in time was in Oslo. So I just booked it. And up to that point, I had never run more than 10 kilometers. And so I thought, that's fine. I know I can finish it. It doesn't matter. I will finish it. I will run. All you have to do is start running. Don't stop. That's the recipe, really. And so my training was more like, let's do a few longer runs. So I started with a 10K, which was a lot for that year, because again, I'd never run more than 5K. Then I moved to half a marathon, so 21 kilometers. And then I did another longer one, which was like maybe 30. and then a final longer run, 35. That's all I did. I did like 4 or 5 long runs in the month up to the race.
I guess for any of the listeners out there, they can't see your handsome face or body through the audio. It's worth mentioning that you're in relatively good shape.
Yeah, yeah. I should say, so, I may not be a runner, but I am a conditioned guy. So my body has to repair fast because it has no choice. I've trained it to react that way. So even when I did that 3-mile run over 3 hours, yes, my knee hurt a little bit at the end of the day, but it's nothing that my body can't cope with because I train, you know, every day, at least once a day.
Yes.
That is important. I'm not saying that like you can just go and run a marathon. Maybe you can though. But the point is, for sure, you are underestimating what you can do.
Interesting. So for the marathon, one of the things that you hear quite a lot of specifically is the idea that there's a wall. So at some stage, you know, any distance running especially, so I suppose it depends on the person, right? Let's work on the hypothesis. Yeah, you're a really conditioned guy, and so you're in a really strong state. So maybe the wall is a little bit further ahead for you than most people. Mm-hmm. But probably what would be interesting is that, let's say that someone gets really inspired by this and says, hey, I actually want to start running a marathon. What happens when you hit that wall? Does it exist? And what do you start to do then? How much of it is mindset and how much of it is physical training? Because let's pretend you've trained for 5 years, right? Or 10. The length doesn't really matter too much. What can someone expect when that wall does or does not come more than anything else?
I'd say, especially long distance running, I don't really like shorter runs, like 10Ks. I find them a bit boring, especially if we do them quite regularly. Longer distance, it's all like a battle with your mind. It's like a hostage negotiation with your mind. And that is really fascinating because you just like, you will have a problem because it's like 42K. It's a really long run, multiple hours. So you will want to stop. And what you do is, let's keep going for another 2K, 3K, you know, and see what happens. And so when I was training, there was this one time, I think I was going for the half marathon or something like that. And my feet swell up a little bit. And I was like, let's keep going for 5K and let's see what happens. And I did that and it went away. And then I was like, oh, that's great. I can do that. And then my legs were a bit heavy. I thought, that's cool. Let's not stop now. Let's go keep going for 3Ks. And then if it still hurts, I will decide then. And then that went and you keep going. But, you know, I also got to say that there was one time where I was really stiff from 2 consecutive legs day. And at the same time, I had a problem with my shoes. I had new shoes and I had a problem with my shoes. And I wanted to run for 3 hours. It was very close to the actual marathon. And I wanted to run for 3 hours. I had to stop at 2 hours. I could have kept going, but it might have created a problem for the actual marathon. And so at that point, I was like, that's fine. But I wanted to stop at an hour and a half. I kept going until 2 hours. So it's when you run a marathon, it's always about not, you can't decide in the moment. Your default needs to be keep running. You're running, don't stop. Because if you stop, you lose, right? So if you have anything that tells you, oh, I want to stop, I've got cramps or I need to drink or whatever, just keep going. And then if that keeps showing up, then you can decide to stop. In a way, it's the same thing. Like you could apply to a bad day. Say you have a bad day, you don't want to wake up or you don't want to go to your gym, you don't want to show up at your business or work or whatever it is, right? Just do it anyway. If the next day you still feel bad, then something is going wrong. You gotta action that, right? But that way you're proactive, you're on the attack. You're not just going like, ah, in this moment I feel this way. You are deciding the way you feel. And I think that's really important. And during the race, it was again, like the longest run I had done at that point was 35K, only once in my life.
Yeah.
And so this one was much longer. I'd run in London, which is pretty flat, whereas Oslo is so hilly. It was like two circuits, and each circuit had 3 bits, which were really hilly, especially the final one at the very end. And it is very difficult because you use a different kind of muscles. And obviously, like, it's just more difficult to run uphill and downhill as well. It's more challenging. And so it's constantly a game of going, like, your brain says, wow, you've just done 30K. You still have 12 in front of you, right? And all you tell yourself is, yeah, let's just focus on the next 1 kilometer. Let's just focus on the next 10 minutes. Let's keep going. And you make it much easier. what I really liked was also to break it down. And I knew that I had done those 3 mile runs, you know, for in those 24 hours, which is like 5K. So what I would tell myself was I would break that run down into 3 miles and go like, you know, it's just four left of those 3 mile runs. I did it with no training. I know I can do it. Let's just focus on the next 3 mile run and then we'll see how I feel. And then we will adjust. So
nice. That makes sense. So one thing I'm really curious about with the marathon, especially, is let's pretend that for some people, running, say, 3 to 5 miles to begin with is the equivalent of a marathon in terms of kind of physical and mental fatigue. Mm-hmm. Because if you're someone who hasn't run a marathon before, or you haven't done a lot of physical training, there's a good chance that your mind is going to start to give out and your muscles are going to be sore. You're going to be exhausted, right? Yeah. So the interesting thing is, when during the race, did you start to feel like, okay, right, this is, there's a lot going on here. This is a bad idea. Like, what are those proverbs? Because we've talked about the wall, right? So maybe the wall does or doesn't exist, but you've said right now that actually there was a few points where, like, just keep going, push past this. Talk to me and the audience a little bit about what those points look like and how you move past them. Because clearly there was a couple of challenges there.
Yeah.
And that's something that's going to be pretty universal, whether you're running, say, 2 kilometers for the first time or 20.
That's 3 points I can think about. So number one, my feet tend to swell up in longer runs. So I love my running shoes, but I tend to wear them without insoles, which means that the nylon stitching is visible. And so what I do is I put duct tape, you know, my training to cover it so that it doesn't touch my skin. However, I didn't do that properly before the run and it just moved and it started cutting into my skin. And by mile 6, I was bleeding on one of my feet. And then mile 10, both my feet were bleeding and it hurt. And especially when I was going downhill, I could really feel it. And in that case, I just turned it from an obstacle into like something great. I just thought, wow, it hurts now. But I just imagined finishing the race and walking to a patch of grass, just sit down, take my shoes off, look at my socks with you know, a patch of blood, and feel like, wow, I've done this anyway, right? This is in my I am a badass bank. I can count on that moment for the rest of my life. And feeling that way just made me think, like, I'm the guy that doesn't quit, so I'm gonna keep going. It kind of fueled me in a way. It was painful, but it fueled me, and it allowed me not to focus on the pain on the foot, but just focus on the race, enjoy what, the way I was feeling. So that was point number one. Point number two was probably the final third or final quarter of the race, when a lot of people around you. So when you run on your own, it's just you. But when you run a race, in this case, it was 3,000 people running that that marathon. And in the final quarter, a lot of people were stopping. They were starting to walk or maybe even like just take a break. And when you start seeing 5 people, 10 people, 20 people stopping, and your mind is there telling you, like, you can't keep going like this, right? It almost like makes you want to justify stopping. You go like, why should I keep going if I've just seen 20 people stop? Maybe I should do that. So that was a difficult one. And I would just focus on my race. And I was like, look, it's steep. I'm tired. And what I do, I'm not like everyone else. I keep running. It doesn't matter how slow I go. I don't walk. That's my policy for this run. And if I do that, I'm going to feel good with myself. It doesn't matter, you know, what the final result is. So I just felt like that. I created my own policy instead of like following what other people were doing. And then the final point I can think of was it was really steep at the end, like the final 3 miles. So the first 2 miles of those final three were really uphill. And it was tough. But what I had done the day before is I went through a YouTube video of a guy who ran the same marathon in 2018, so the year before. And I went through it a couple of times in fast forward. And I knew, he said, like, this is very steep. At the end, I can't do it anymore. It was walking, essentially, but still. And so I just looked at that bit a few times and visualized it. And I decided, when I get to that point, I'm going to recognize some of the buildings. I'm going to recognize the road going up. And instead of feeling I'm tired, I want to give up, I'm going to feel I made it this far. I'm so close to the finish line. I feel amazing. And so when I got there, I was really tired. And I thought, wow, I'm nearly here. This is where I wanted to get to. And this is the the road uphill that I wanted to get to. And that's good. And I felt, I was really tired, but I felt good. And then I was cheering other people up and going, there was a guy dressed like Superman. And I was like, hey, Superman, we're going to get a super hug at the end. And he was like, yeah, man, keep going. So it was great to like cheer other people up and like get cheered back. And even people that were looking at the race, you know, they would like clap at me and it would clap back and they would clap like 10 times louder, which was great for me. So that was really good. And those moments were great. And, you know, one crazy thing, I think, is that my stretch goal was to run the marathon in less than 3 hours, 45 minutes. I thought if I can do that, I just looked at like what my timings were in the previous, in my test runs. And I thought if I can do that, that's amazing. I'll be really, really happy. And my final result was 3 hours, 44 minutes, 59 seconds. So just 1 second. I did that by 1 second. And that was... yeah, it was great.
Law of attraction. You think it becoming. So, interesting. Yeah. So what I'm taking away from that is that of those three hurdles, there are probably three big lessons that people can take away when it comes to running a marathon more than anything else.
Uh-huh.
And the first one is it's going to hurt at some stage.
Yeah.
And it's your choice whether or not you push through that essentially. And you kind of like tackle the hurdles and obstacles that life throws in your way, or the marathon throws in your way in this case. Yeah. Now, the interesting thing with this is that you talk specifically about, you know, your feet are cut up and you kind of push for it because it's a marathon and you want to get to the end of it. While we're on this subject, just before we kind of deconstruct the other 2 points, what advice would you give to someone who's training for a marathon rather than doing the marathon? Because obviously, in that moment, it's, you know, it's victory or death kind of thing. It's like awful glory or nothing at all. However, that's an approach which could be a bit tricky while training, right? Because the last thing you want to do is push yourself to the absolute brink of extinction. And then you have to take 3 to 5 days off because your feet are still pretty sore now, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What advice would you give someone training for a marathon? Because in that moment, it's easy to say, just keep going, just keep pushing by it. You know, we've had friends with broken feet. They've done it, like not happily, but they've done it. You know, mindset challenge, fine. But in training, it's like, hey, there's no glory there, right? It's like, that's the build up. So what advice would you give to someone when they're training for the marathon?
One thing I like to do was, well, first of all, like I made my runs longer and longer very quickly. That was very challenging already. So when I'd run like half a marathon, I'd never done it before. Whereas when I run the marathon, I knew I'd run 35K out of 42. When I run 21, which is half a marathon, I'd only done 10K. So the difference is much greater.
Mm-hmm.
So just by throwing myself in the deep end, I was already very uncomfortable. So that kind of trained me to be uncomfortable. And then also just not making it very easy for me. So I remember once, I think actually... every time I did a long run to train for that, the day before I did legs day. And that was because my legs are going to hurt. They're going to be sore from my training. So I'm going to have to push through. And that means that during the marathon, I'm going to be fresh. So I'm not going to have that. But the mindset would have been trained from, you know, training through that soreness. So that really helped, right? But at the same time, you know, like that example I mentioned where I stopped at 2 hours. You know, I wanted to go for 3 hours. I stopped at 2 hours. And at that point, I was like, I could keep going, but my feet might get cut up. And, you know, then I would have to run on carts and that would be very difficult. So it's not worth it, right? So at that point, it's just knowing, but not deciding in a reactive way. You know, just keep pushing, give yourself a little bit more time. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So focus when you're training on the long-term goals. And then perhaps, like, if you had to give an example here, it's like, hey, it's almost like running a marathon is similar to kind of like the analogy of being a boxer. Push hard in training, but don't get yourself concussed before the fight.
Exactly, yeah.
But when the push comes to shove on like fight day, hey, do what you can to win sort of thing.
Yeah. And if you can make it a little bit more difficult during the training, then like, you know, like legs day, then the actual race or the actual fight or the competition will be easier because
absolutely.
You don't have that, right?
Nice. So give yourself some challenges.
Yeah.
Push to that. I think the second point, which was really interesting in the story you described, is the idea of running your own race rather than someone else's. And I think this is a really interesting thing to touch on because there's going to be a lot of people out there that, you know, when we talk about what it takes to run a marathon, well, some people like you at the start of this year would have said, hey, I couldn't run a marathon or I don't want to. It's not for me sort of thing. And then there will be people who essentially tell some of their friends, hey, I'm actually interested in training for a marathon or running a marathon. And there's going to be a lot of non-believers in there. Oh, no, a marathon is hard or a marathon is this. Or maybe they recite the really fun story you tell at the start about, hey, some guy ran for a marathon and died. And it's like, oh, you know, it's one of those crazy things. So talk to me a little bit about the advice you'd give to someone when it comes to running their own race. What does that look like? What does that look like in terms of training or the, you know, how you speak to people about your marathon?
I think it's just, to challenge your own limits in a way, right? It's it. I think I'm a bit skeptical when I see the majority thinking or doing or saying a specific thing, and because it means that they're following what, you know, if it's a majority, you can only follow the average. You can't be an outlier, because it's too, like, the group is too big. You can't be an outlier. And so to me, if a lot of people say, oh, it takes a long time to get ready for a marathon, or oh, you need to lose a lot of weight, whatever, if I hear that a lot and that's the norm, well, I know that that's just it's an average result. And so if you're willing to train in a non-average way and want to get non-average results, well, you can think in a different way. And once you do that and you get used to that way of thinking, then it's easier to, even during the race, to to detach yourself from what other people are doing and go like, okay, that's time to stop now. That's fine. They're not me. You know, I know that I've run just a few runs on the build up to this race, but I did it and that was incredible. So I could do it. And one thing that was great during the race is when I wanted to give up, I just thought about moments in my life. It's funny because I did it in the past, in the present, and in the future, actually, because I visualize a lot. But it was mostly in the past. I thought about moments in my life when I wanted to quit and I didn't, and I got the result. And I just thought, I'm not the guy that quit. So I actually got a little bit emotional for a couple of seconds, because I felt so grateful to have that experience that really it was a manifestation of that mindset. And I just thought, I'm not the guy that quits. And actually, at the end of this race, I'm going to have another one of those stories in my I'm a badass bank. And I'll be able to look back and say, I am the guy who runs a marathon with little training on cut up feet and doesn't quit. Next time I get a challenge, whatever, in whatever form, it could be in my personal life, in my fitness, in my business, it could be a breakup. It doesn't really matter. It'll be easier because I look back and go like, I'm the guy who doesn't quit. And so every challenge becomes easier when you don't give up. But the opposite is true if you do give up, right? So if you run a race and you say, oh, you know, I'm out. And then the next time you have a challenge in your life, you're going to look back and go like, oh, I'm the guy who quit, so I'm out.
Nice. You and DJ Khaled would have a good conversation there.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Never quit, never stop. Okay, cool. And the last point, which is quite interesting, is that you talk about how you'd already kind of, you know, gone through the race in your using YouTube and kind of like visualizing things. Yeah. You even talked about, you know, the idea that you do a lot of visualization. So how important do you feel it is for people to, one, visualize the activity that they're going to do, you know, come to the end of the finish line, and also to maybe, you know, do a little scout. So let's say I'm running for the first time. I go, yeah, I'm super inspired. I'm going to do a 2 mile run, 3 mile run to kick ourselves off. I know we've got a couple of friends that, let's say, this really instills the fear of God in them, and they're like, yes, I can't wait to run, you know, Matt's really made it clear that I have to do it. Would you recommend that they, one, picture themselves finishing the run, but two, maybe they go for like a test walk, test kind of like scan around the area that they're going to do, just so they're familiar with that? How important do you think that is?
I think it's really, really important, because you get familiar with. So on one hand, if you do that scan, which I only did online, well, actually during the, so the day before the race, I went around the city a little bit, but obviously because the circuit is like half a marathon, I didn't see all of it, but it was still good to get a vibe of the city, go like, okay, this is what the weather's going to be like, the temperature is going to be like, what the city is going to kind of feel, how the air is going to taste, or like, you know, what's the quality of the air, how am I going to feel. That was really important. But, you know, if I'd done actually maybe taken a taxi and gone around it, that would have been even better, because I could have gone like, okay, it's going to be difficult here. I will know. And you take the surprise away from it. Instead of going like, wow, you go all out and then you get hit with like the steep bit at the end and you go like, I'm out. This was a surprise. I didn't see this coming. And you might quit then when you're just, you know, so close to the finish line. You don't know that. And it was so good that I actually knew that from the video. But if you know that in advance, you can kind of diffuse that problem and that surprise. And on the other hand, if you visualize the good stuff, like, how am I going to feel at the end of the run? How is that going to, you know, I'm going to go through that, the finish line. What's that going to mean to me, right? And then during the race, you go like, wow, that's great. I want to feel that way at the end. And it's not far. It's not far. And remember, just a few years from now, a few minutes, a few hours from now, I'm running this race right now. In a few minutes, in a few hours, I'll be sitting on a patch of grass or maybe on a sofa in a cafe, and everything will be back to normal. And so this is all temporary. And so just remembering all those things and being able to visualize them and do that in advance was really good, because it's you get a lot of preparation, and you don't even have to experience it physically in a way.
Nice. That makes perfect sense. So if we, I guess to kind of summarize and start wrapping things up with this, if there's three things that people have to do to run a marathon, the first is, you know that your mind's going to fight back. Yeah. So make sure that you fight that. So, you know, focus on your mindset.
Absolutely.
The second, run your own race. Doesn't matter whether you're, you know, running 2 kilometers or 20, understand that you're starting from your own starting point. Run your own race. Don't compare yourself to others. It's like, hey, it's your race. Put the work in you need to work on. Don't worry too much about what anyone else thinks or feels. And then obviously the third one is, you know, start to do some visualization, start to think, start to become comfortable with what you're going to do. And, you know, perhaps a way to shortcut it is, let's pretend that the first marathon you want to do is in London. Hey, just walk around London, get used to London. Like, maybe even, you know, drop a few hits on YouTube and see what's going on there. What does the race look like? Or talk to someone that's done it before, you know, the classic kind of stuff. I guess one last question, which would be really fun to end on, is what's one piece of advice that you wish Matt pre-marathon had known? Or one thing that you know now?
Okay. So the race was, I mean, it was a challenge. It was tough. There were moments where, like, I was out of energy, or like my legs were stiff, or my feet hurt. But I finished and I thought, wow, I'm full of energy still. I could run another half a marathon minimum, at least, right? And maybe that was a reminder of the fact that we always have more in the tank. And so, but you only find out by pushing that limit, right? And so it would have been difficult to communicate that before the run. But obviously, once you know that, then it's easier to do it. So somehow, I think that, like, you got more in the tank. It doesn't matter. You know, you've just done something that is a stretch goal for yourself, but you've got more in the tank. Nice. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. I like that. There's always more in the tank. I think that's a nice way to end this. Yeah. So for anyone that wants to know what it takes to get what you want in terms of running a marathon, there's your pointers. Know you've always got more in the tank. And obviously, leave comments below. Hit us up on, on Instagram, Twitter. Let us know your thoughts. We'll drop those in the show notes and in the comments below.
We're easy to find on Instagram anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, that's it. We've managed to get the old social handles with our names. I do sometimes worry what the future will look like for our kids in terms of how the hell are they going to get any handles, right? Uh-huh. That's going to be a fun problem for
the future.
Just give them weird names. I'm going to...
Consonants only.
Marathon Kiani is going to be one of those fun things. So, but yeah, anyway, thank you guys for listening. And again, shout out to our boy Cam and Cameron Canduff from Cam Vlogs for letting us use his studio. And we will be back for another episode of Resolve with the themes of what it takes to get what you want. So thank you and good night.
Thank you.